close friends, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Boxing Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Hill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco Bill, doing super, even though I'm under the weather, but that's no hill for a hill climber. How are you doing tonight, good buddy?
I'm doing fine, Tom. I'm doing fine.
Well, I know that you were backed up for about 8 hours today on this whole thing. An interesting show, Marco. As usual, you know, you really know how to put things together. Let's do a few shout-outs first here, and then we'll get right into the show, if that's okay with you, boss.
Go right ahead, Tom.
Okay, good, buddy. I want to put a shout-out there
to
Linda down there in Oklahoma. Linda, great observations. Got your emails. Keep them coming, and thanks for the kind words, sweetheart. Roger Knight, hey, man, that was stupendous on those questions, and if we do a follow-up, we're going to sure use some of those questions. Jacob Mizgalski, Wisconsin. Hey, good buddy, it's been a while. How's the researching going down there in Wisconsin? This show is kind of like down in your area, so you might want to listen. Hey, there's my girl, Lee Leon, like just like Celine Dion. This is Lee Leon. She's down there in San Diego. She's coming out there, too, with us. I'm glad you're listening, sweetheart. Todd Jurassic. Keep your pants on, Todd, down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Your DVD's coming to you. John Mayer and B down there in Carmel, California. Nice meeting you guys. Sure was felt like back home, man. Chris Murphy, back there in British Columbia. Hey, Chris, you're a hell of a delight. Not just a delight, you're a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the Bigfoot field, and it's an honor to know you, my friend. Can't wait to see that book, by the way, too. Your DVD's already out to you. Richard and Denise Beale. You guys, I got to tell you about these guys. They own a chain of Mexican upper-scale restaurants. And it's called Ola. They're doing a hell of a job, and they got them in Hillsboro or Burlingame, I guess, and Belmont and Carmel. You guys, any of you guys get into that area, go in there and say the Bigfoot Hunter sent you, okay? Thanks for your hospitality, Rich and Denise. Gloria Ballantyne up there in Saskatchewan. It's too bad the stuff that went on up there wasn't for real. That just happened there last week. I got to the bottom of it, as you well did, I'm sure. But keep up, keep the ears and the nose and eyes to the grindstone there, and let's see what we come up with. Bryce Wagshell from Redwood Shores. One more time, Bryce. Thanks for all your support and all your kind words, buddy. Look forward to seeing you again. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, to all my ears, eyes, noses all over this country, all of our arteries that are attached to searching for Bigfoot. Kudos and salutations to each and every one of you. Well, you know, you guys, we've got TJ, Java Bob, Ray Crow in the chat rooms, okay? As well as we've got Andy from New York. We got Callie Dreamin', Dan Rick, The Fact Finder, Hawk and Karen, P.A. Bryan, No Cho Joe, and we got Sweet and Sour in there also. Kudos to you guys. Let's keep it a little bit decent in that chat room this week, you guys, because I know some of you guys got out of line. We got kids and we've got women listening, so please try to be kind of nice. Well, I got to tell you something, you guys. We've got something very interesting tonight. Super interesting. We were, as you know, on an expedition in the wintertime in December. And those of you who have been keeping up with us on our website, you know that we went to Wisconsin. And the story back then was we were on the road. I don't know if we were in Arizona or if it was Alabama, one of the two. Or maybe it could have been even Florida when it happened. And a guy that was contracted out to the state would clean up the roadkill. Well, nevertheless, the story came out because he didn't want to tell anybody of it, and it preyed on his mind. Talked to the sheriff. He picked up a deer that had got hit by a car. As he did it and put it in the back of his rig, he goes into his cab of his rig to fill out the paperwork with the light turned on, and he could see, of course. And all of a sudden, he feels this big weight on the back end of his rig, like something heavy, stepping up on there, taking the dead deer and absconding with it and running with it in the brush, included with his ramp. Well, my God, he saw this through the rearview mirror as he was doing his report, and he was just dumbfounded. The difference was, when he thought he said it was walk like a man and hairy, it had a face like a dog. Well, lo and behold, I'm new to this part of the Bigfoot field, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm open-minded just like you are and everybody else. So consequently, we went and searched that area. Did a good job of it, too. The people really accepted us, and on a hospitality was superb. The bottom line was we didn't get to see anything. We heard a lot of stories. Last week, this gentleman who's on our show tonight, Bob Cadet, talks for the man that actually took the picture because his English isn't too good, and he's actually representing him. And lo and behold, what do we find? It's a creature that's hairy, walks upright like a man, and has a face like a dog. But to boot, it's got another dog in its hand. And you'll see that illustration on our website, okay? And when you see it, you're going to be freaked out. Those of you who's already gone to searchingforbigfoot.com, you'll see it. And, of course, this one here, where it shows it right on the Bigfoot Live radio show. And when you take a look at this thing, you're going to say, oh, my God, you see the jowls of the dog that it's holding in its hand? You see its ears, its eyes, its nose? So if any of you guys know what it is out there, let us know. And by the way, you know the number out here. You all know it's 347-996-5877. And come in and join us at any time. We have the guests on. Okay? At this point in time, what I'd like to do is go up there. I think he's in Minnesota tonight. Bob, are you out there in Minnesota?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, sure I am. I'm in Minneapolis tonight.
There you go. And by the way, let me put a shout out to our fine friends in the North Country up there, our connections, Bob and Nancy and Susan, and God bless you guys, man, and I can't wait to see you guys next week when you come out on the hunt with us. Tell us, first of all, how's the weather up in Minneapolis today?
Hey, it's not too bad. It's actually pretty warm. It's in the, I think, the 40s. It's a little rainy. Not too bad.
Well, my God, we better get the suntan lotion then, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Last week, I understand you guys were having blizzards.
Yeah, last week there was still snow on the ground. Now it's all gone.
Well, fantastic. Listen, I'm just getting bombarded here with emails and what people are thinking about this thing. Why don't you tell us the story from the beginning? Can you do that, Bob? How you, this guy, or actually, like you told me on the phone, where you saw this thing, how you actually bought the picture, you got to befriend this gentleman, and you actually kind of like working as an agent with him. Tell us, tell my listeners the story.
Okay. I became interested in Bigfoot a few years ago after realizing that these creatures probably did exist. And I live not too far from them. I actually live in northwest Louisiana near Caddo Lake and Falk, Arkansas, in that whole you know, saturated area of sightings. So I've had an interest in Bigfoot for a while and have been a member of a particular forums where this photo was being discussed. And this was back in 2005, in June. I saw a small photo, a very small photo, of something that appeared to be in the woods, and it was cropped out. It was obviously cropped out of a larger photo. And so I became interested in this forum post. I read more on the post and realized that a gentleman was selling this photo on eBay. He was selling it for $20, and there were quite a few discussions, quite a few posts about it on the forums. There was maybe 30 or 40 by this time, and most people dismissed it. But I decided to dig a little deeper. It seemed interesting.
Wait a minute. I don't mean to stop you, and I normally don't interrupt when my guest speaks. But what were they trying to dismiss? I don't get it.
Well, you know, on the forums, there, you know, photos come up all the time. There's a term, blob squatches, that is applied to photos, and this one got dinged a blob squatch right away. So if you don't go in and do a little bit more research and you just see the term blob squatch, you're going to dismiss it out of hand. And I think that's what happened to this one initially. So I decided to look into it a little more. I went on eBay and bought the photo. It was $20, and I figured, you know, it was interesting enough to go ahead and do so. Well, I got a response to my purchase that I would receive the photo in the mail in about 2 weeks, and that's not quite what I expected. I kind of thought I'd be able to download it and get a digital version of the photo. So I emailed the gentleman and asked if he had a digital version of it that he would mind sending me. Within an hour or so, he responded back with the photo attached to the email. And it was, as he claimed, the original photo. It was at 300 DPI. Myself being a web developer, I have a copy of Photoshop. So I opened the image in Photoshop and applied some analysis to it just to get a general feel for whether or not it was a fake, whether or not he had gone in there or somebody else had gone into the photo and cut out something and plopped it into actually a very pretty photo. And it didn't seem like it was a fake. There was quite a bit of foliage in front of the creature and just the general lighting. The subject matter itself, to me, would be very difficult to fake. And so I started the dialogue with him to ask him, you know, how he got this photo and if he realized that this was a pretty unique photo and that there were a lot of people out there interested in this if it were real. And at that point, I came to realize that this gentleman didn't speak very good English. He pretty much spoke French, and he had a difficult time putting together English. And nonetheless, we were able to get a dialogue going. And so the circumstances around where the photo was taken and how it was taken are that he was just out one day sightseeing in this park. He was off this day. It was June 1st, 2005. Spring was just kind of getting kicked off in the area. And he had a new camera, so he was taking photos of different scenery in the area. And this area is called, it was a park, a regional park in Canada, in Quebec, called Parc des Sept Chutes, and that's the French term for the Park of Seven Waterfalls. And it literally is a park with seven waterfalls. And it's, so you can imagine it's probably pretty gorgeous. And you can see in the photos on my website all of the photos he took that day, and it is a very pretty area. So it's logical that somebody would be out there with a camera taking photos. Well, he got back to his home after taking these photos and was looking at them, and he noticed something down in the bottom right corner of photo number 32, and that is what has been termed the Beast of Seven Chutes or the Beast of Seven Waterfalls. And that's pretty much how the photo became kind of got kicked off as something you know, that might be of value or might be interesting to the Bigfoot community.
Uh-huh. Now, a question I got for you, myself, Bob. I listened to you very intently the other night when we had talked. And when you told me about people who wanted or people who had unwanted animals, they would drop them off in this section of this park. Tell the listeners the reason why.
So, you know, I've had this particular site up for a while, and it's folks in Quebec have emailed me and said that this is very interesting. They know where the park is, and they would like to go research it. And in some of the emails we've exchanged back and forth, and this isn't with the photographer, this is with other people in the area, they just casually mentioned that, and they, I don't think they realized the connection, but they casually mentioned that this was an area that people would go out and drop off unwanted pets, and it was a real problem. He said that these pets are actually mating with some of the local wildlife, the wild wolves and coyotes in the area, and they have a coy dog problem, which I had never heard that term before. But in his mind, he was thinking that perhaps one of these domestic pets had maybe mated with a wolf or something, and this is what, lo and behold, we have walking around. I don't think that's the case. I think that's relevant because if, you know, people are actually dropping off dogs out there, well, it's a great source of lunch or dinner for, you know, these creatures to you know, pretty much keep them fed and keep them going out there.
Wow. and that's pretty much a known thing out in that area?
Yeah, he said it was a pretty common problem. He said, in fact, they had to build a pound in the area so that they could gather up the dogs and take them to the pound.
Wow, that's incredible. It really is. Now, who is the woman in the picture in the lower bottom right-hand corner?
Okay, that is the gentleman's girlfriend. Now, I was skeptical of this person from the get-go, and I've always tried to have a skeptic's eye. I was involved in Bigfooting for a couple of years before I came across this, and I'm aware of the, you know, the questionable, or the questions that get raised about these types of photos. So I was really trying to take a scientific approach to it, if you will, not being a scientist, but trying to do that. So I was skeptical of him, and one of the first things I did was asked him if he had copies of the other photos he took that day, because in my mind, if this was a fake, maybe he didn't think about taking a full roll of film for producing this fake.
Bobby, let me stop you right here. Mark,
sure.
Bill, I'm getting a bunch of people saying that we're getting an echo or we're in a cave. The sound is coming across.
Job, somebody has their radio on, and the background is a speaker, and it's
okay. It
back
might
over.
Be me.
I just turned
off my speakerphone.
Yeah. Tom, we also have a listener on the line with a question. Area code 330. When you're ready, let me know, and I'll bring him on.
Well, why don't we bring him on with Bob? Right. Well, wait a minute, Bob. I'm sorry because I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, that's a problem. That's fine. I can pick it up when you're ready.
Okay. Whoever has the radio, a radio on behind listening, or you're on a speakerphone, please mute it right now because it's interfering the broadcast. Please, okay?
Yep, I turned off the speakerphone.
Yeah, I know, in case there's somebody else out there.
Okay.
Let's get that person, Marco.
Okay. Area code 33, excuse me. Area code 631 now. It just came on. Area code 330 went off the line. I'm sorry.
Okay, 631.
Area code 631, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio.
Hey, Tom, it's Ron.
Hey, Dr. Ron, how are you? Good, buddy.
Good, man. Looks like my son wrote down the wrong number.
But nevertheless, you're on now. So
listen to your answer machine, and you got it. But you can stay on this one.
Okay, great.
Tom, we have area code 418 with a question.
Let's
do it. Bring them on?
Okay.
Area code 418, I'm going to unmute you, and you can come on. Area code 418, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio.
Yes, hi.
Hi, who is this?
I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, this is the photographer.
Yes, it's me.
And, well, Larry,
Tom, this is Larry.
Have,
I wasn't
yes.
expecting him to call in. Okay, great.
Yeah, well, just want to say I'm trying to talk English, but it's very difficult. So I just want to tell people that when I took the picture, I don't see the creature, but when I put it on the computer, I saw that. So we just that I want to say.
You know, Larry, I'm going to try to talk slow, so hopefully you can understand me, okay?
Okay.
And if you can't, just stop me at different times.
Okay.
The situation that you just told us has happened so many times with all of our people in the big...
Hey, Larry, I'm going to try to talk slow, so hopefully you can understand me, okay?
Okay.
Well, what was that, Marco?
That's what that is. Somebody got a radio on, and it's come back through the other way.
Me, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, you have a radio on.
Okay.
Okay. So what's happened, Larry, is a lot of people will take the footage that they took while they were on picnicking, hiking, backpacking, camping, and they go home and they look and they said, oh, my God, what is this? So what happened to you happened to so many people right here in the States also.
Okay.
Okay. And what did you think when you first saw it, Larry?
Very surprised, and I don't know what it is. So I show this picture to my girlfriend, and she was very scary.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking to put it on eBay, just to see what we'll do, and that's it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
Bob, I think that at one point in time, didn't you share these photos with MK Davis?
Yes, MK has seen them, and he's quite intrigued by it, too. His comment to him is, Rob, I have no idea what that is. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. I have no idea what it is either. But that was kind of his comment. Yeah, he has seen them and is impressed by them.
Has the academic world got back to either one of you guys and said, hey, what they thought it might have been?
No. I sent these to Jeff Meldrum at one point, and he was intrigued by it. I read a comment actually on Chris Murphy's newsletter just last month where he talked about the photo also. And I'm kind of wonder if Jeff Meldrum's seeing the same photo I'm seeing, but his comment was kind of that it appears to be an outcropping or maybe a rock or a limb or of some sort. But I can understand, everybody has a right to their opinion. But I really haven't, other than Jeff Meldrum. He's the only person I've shown it to. I think that's mainly because I wouldn't know who to go to in the academic community.
Well, let me ask you this. So when you sent it to Jeff Meldrum, what was his analysis?
Well, his initial reaction was that it was very interesting, and I don't know that he felt like it was relevant to his vein of research. And I'm sure he's got a lot on his plate, and I wouldn't say he dismissed it, but there was really not much interest, if you will, from him in it. There's some versions of it floating around that are difficult to make out what is in it, because the initial photo was so small that you really couldn't tell what it was, and then some people went and took that little tiny photo and blew it up, and it really became distorted. But the photos that I have are based on the original 300 DPI image, and that's why they're so large and clear. So sometimes I think maybe Jeff has seen, or some others have seen, those photos that are not very clear, because to me and most people I show it to, it's pretty clean, pretty clear. And it's also been confirmed that it's not a rock outcropping or a branch. Larry himself went back down there, and you asked who that was standing down there. Well, that was Larry's girlfriend. They've been back on a couple of occasions and stood right where this creature was, and there was no rock outcroppings or limbs to be seen in the area.
Wow.
Hey, Tom, Erico 330 is back on again. He was down here for about 15 minutes.
Okay, sure. Let's get him.
Area
on.
Code 330, you're on Bigfoot Live. I think you are now.
330, are you on the line? Hello?
I'm trying to unmute him. I can't
unmute
him. how. This is embarrassing. 330, I'm trying to unmute you, although you're probably talking. Somehow this our little switchboard, automatic switchboard, isn't unswitching.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
I was going to tell you, one of the more interesting things that, you know, kind of happened along the way was, you know, when I first saw this photo, you know, it appeared to me, you know, I thought, wow, this is a great Bigfoot photo. And after I looked at it a while, something just didn't seem right. And the snout and the look of it just didn't match. You know, we've all imagined what this Bigfoot creature looks like, at least those of us that haven't seen one. And it didn't match what I imagined the Bigfoot creature to would look like. And so I started looking around for, you know, maybe a description that would match it. And lo and behold, I have found numerous reports of a creature that match the descriptions of this creature in an uncanny way. You know, for instance, one of the descriptions describes it as was dark in color but tipped silvery gray. Says it had an elongated snout. It says the arms were bent at the elbow and forward. Says it was looking right at me. I felt it was aggressive and would defend itself viciously. One of the other ones mentions that it had a triangular-shaped head, or kind of triangular-shaped head. In fact, several of them mention kind of the same things. It was looking completely straight on us is another description. The triangular-shaped head and looking straight at us and the snout are all three very common descriptions that you'll hear about these creatures. And there's numerous reports that have been made about this very creature. And I was kind of excited to find that because it kind of, you know, put 1 + 1 or made 1 + 1 = 2. You know, if this thing were a photo and there was a void and nobody else had seen it and there were no reported sightings, well, I would kind of be, you know, stuck as to what it was. But it's really interesting that there have been sightings that match this creature, this creature's description.
Just incredible, just totally incredible. Do we have any callers in that want to ask Larry or Bob?
Tom, we lost 330 just because we couldn't unmute him.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, fantastic. Well, listen, Bob, I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing this with myself and my listeners. And please keep us apprised of what's going on and what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, I'll do that. And anybody that wants to see this can go to haveyouseenthiscreature.com, and all the information I've presented is on that site, along with numerous photos post you know, on return trips to the area, as well as the original photos taken that day.
Fantastic. Thanks again. And Larry, if you're still on the line, I want to thank you for calling in and being with us. Well, he probably muted himself out. But stay on the show and listen. Just mute yourself out on the 6 button. We got MK Davis with some great new stuff coming up, okay? Okay. Marco, you there?
I'm here, Tom.
Okay, good, buddy. Before we bring... let's see, we got MK coming on. Before we bring him on, let's take a station break, would you?
Okay, everybody, this is the Bigfoot Live radio station. Stand by for a great, great advertisement on our current upcoming expedition in Paris, Texas.
There's something roaming, and there is a species that may be unknown that we're going to release to the world.
March 29th, 30th, and 31st is your chance to make history. Join us in Paris, Texas, March 29th, 30th, and 31st as we attempt to capture this elusive creature with the legendary Tom Biscardi and his Searching for Bigfoot team.
Nighttime, this is a complete playground for these things.
Featuring the cutting-edge technology of Dr. Ron Milioni.
He's moving right now. It's clear out.
It's never been done before. it's never been seen before. Be a part of the groundbreaking new reality television series, Capturing Bigfoot. Do you have what it takes to be on the team that brings home America's King Kong? That's Paris, Texas, March 29th, 30th, and 31st with the legendary Tom Stark. Get your tickets now. Log on to searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, Tom, we're back on Bigfoot Live, and it's back to you.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Let me give a shout-out to the guys in the party room here. It looks like we got a hell of a party going on, too. We got Callie Dreamin', Jim from Traces, Dan Ricky, Java Bob. We got Joan 4041. We got Jody, P.A. Brian, Ray Crow. We got TJ, Snow Cho Joe, Sweet and Sour, Women on Thin Ice. And by the way, Women on Thin Ice, the interviews have started. And you missed a lot of good stuff. It will be archived for you, though. Don't worry about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I saw a picture last week when we had that controversial show. With talking about the Patterson film last week. And one of the guys on our show on a panel, Pat Holbrook, who did the movie, using the slides that M.K. Davis supplied, on his website, there was this incredible photo. It was a still of the Bigfoot creature from the Patterson film, and MK said it was number 350. And I got to tell you, when I saw it, I just freaked out. I'm sure I've seen it many, many times before, but at the same time, I looked at it and I looked closely, and I want you guys to do the same, okay? There's the actual real slide or frame number 350 on the left side, and on the right there's the one that's been lightened up, and you'll see it two different colors. It's like a light brownish red, and the one on the left is black. And I gotta tell you, I could not believe the facial features. Look at the nose, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the eyes, okay? Look at all
Tom,
that stuff.
That's on the left side of the web page at the bottom where it's got M.K. Davis. And
right.
The link is comparison. If you click on that, you'll get that.
Okay, now you guys, it's right there. It says M.K. Davis presents more new startling evidence why he believes that this is not a man in a gorilla suit, a comparison. And when you click on there, you're going to see both, you guys. And I got to tell you, when you see it, seeing is believing. Look at the nose. Tell me what kind of primate or gorilla that has a nose like this. Let's go down to Mississippi. M.K. Davis, you on the line?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing just great. How
thank
are you?
Thank you so much, M.K., for joining us once again.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, I think you heard me prep it and tell everybody what I thought, and thanks to you for supplying the real slide or film, the frame there of the film, and the light version versus the dark. Can you bring our listeners into focus on this?
Well, you know, like you and I were discussing earlier on the phone, you know, we sort of live in a microcosm, you know, the Bigfoot interest genre. But and you kind of assume sometimes that maybe perhaps the world has seen. But in reality, not many people outside the Bigfoot genre have seen this particular image. This image right here is it's a result of collaboration, actually. And when people work together, it's amazing how good things can happen. The one on the right is what they call a red filtered image. It was actually photographically filtered. And you do that, you filter out certain colors that are not properly focused by some imperfections in the lenses. You know, no lens is perfect, and when you get a lens that's designed to be what they call a fast focal ratio, it's designed to show a wide field, it really puts a lot of bend to the light rays. Mm-hmm. And when it does that, a lot of times not all of them come to the same point of focus. So what you'll have is one particular color that's sharply focused and two or three that are not quite there, and they'll produce halos around it. And a person that's interested in sharpening the image and they're not, you know, not that concerned about the monocolor, they'll do some experimentation in a lab using glass filters and find the colors that are not properly focused and simply filter them out on the exposure when you do your print. And you come up with something like this here on the right. It's a red filter, but it's very, very sharp. And this is one of the first images that got me interested in the Patterson Bigfoot film, because when you get an image like this, there's a general rule in photography that you can't get a good image from a bum film.
Mm-hmm.
So that told me that there was a much better copy of the film somewhere that floating around or hidden away somewhere that these images were taken from. So it started me on my little sojourn, you know, looking for it.
Okay. Well, what is your interpretation of this face?
Well, you know, a still photo can be deceiving, and I've said that from the beginning. You know, it can be the face could be distorted by some action of the subject. You know, it could be in a strain. It could be a certain amount of smear to it because it's shot with fast action and slow shutter speeds and things like that. You know, so there are certain things that you can tell about it. You know, you may not be able to tell everything about it, but when you look at it, you can tell that it's, you know, sparsely haired. Well, and that's I keep bringing that up, but it's an important point because it's you know, there's a lot can be deduced from that because it's not keeping warm by hair coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by implication, you know that since it's in a cold environment, if this is not an absolute hoax, if it's real, then it's keeping warm in some other way, or it's hibernating or something, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The nose turns down. The nostrils are at the bottom of the nose. You know, that's pretty obvious.
Okay.
And that's something that's non-simian in nature. If a gorilla were to jump off in a river, you know, with the nostrils turned up, water would run into his nostrils. This thing right here could conceivably jump in water and do like a human does, you know, hold their breath and go, you know, it's very human-like. It's bulky, you know. It's stocky built, but you know there's so much variation within humans. You know, we've all seen humans come in all shapes and sizes, and so the preponderance of the evidence, you know, from what I see from this and the entire film as a whole, is that there's a very, very small list of non-human features and a very large list of human-like features, and that's what you call preponderance. It pretty much, the greater amount of evidence seems to indicate human, although it's not a normal human by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just it just blew me away. Okay, it when I looked at it, and I said to myself, my God, look at the eyes, look at the nose, look at the mouth. Because, you know, I've had encounters over coming up to 34 years, and it looks so human-like. And you hear that from so many of our listeners or our people who have had encounters. And when I saw this, I never saw it in that much, you know, detail. I got to be honest with you, okay? But when I did, you know what I did? Right away I called you and a few other people, and I said, my God. You know, I mean, how many primates, how many gorillas do you know that have a nose like that, MK?
Well, none to my knowledge.
And that's the whole point here. And that's what I'm bringing up. And that's what blew me away, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, my God, I mean, this can be one of two things, okay? Either it's a species that has never been defined, it's not on record, which comes back constantly, or it's the man in the monkey suit that everybody's talking about. Now, there's just too many stories going all over this world, too many sightings that people have seen it. And I personally believe that the Patterson film, and this is just my feeling, now I got to tell you, is the real deal. And I'll tell you why, okay? You look at the muscles. You look at the leg muscles and the thigh muscles, the buttocks, the stuff that you explained. And incidentally, I want all the listeners out there to know, we took the tally, okay, out of, I think it came back at 526 votes total. It came out 525 for that it was the Patterson film, was a real deal, and one, remember that now, one said that it wasn't. I mean, is that a landslide or what? Okay, I mean, think about it. So what I'm trying to say is, okay, this is pretty concrete stuff, and the stuff that you've spent a decade, almost a decade, I guess now, of your life proving this, okay, just from the film, all right? Why can't we get the academic world to back this thing?
Well, in my opinion, the reason why you can't get the academic world is because the film was basically mishandled in the beginning. And instead of becoming a good piece of evidence like it should have, it became an icon for unsolvability. You know, it just wasn't given the... I'm not talking about media attention. I'm talking about it wasn't given the scientific scrutiny that it should have been. When they had showings of it, no one asked for it to be reversed or stop-framed or anything like that. It went through one time, and you know how shaky it is. And the people just got up and dismissed it out of hand. You know, the people who have looked at it asked for it to be stopped on a certain frame and looked at it, reversed it, backed it, oscillated it, have all come to very different conclusions. Thankfully, you know, it's almost 40 years now since the film was taken, and thankfully technology has caught up with the film, and we're able to do those things with much better ease. It's not such a difficult thing technically, you know, to flash the images or blink the images or things like that. So I think there's a very bright future for this film, and by, you know, extension, the Bigfoot itself, you know, will be taken much more seriously. At least I hope it is.
Yeah.
Now, as to what it is, what a Bigfoot is, you know, I don't know if it completely solves that, but it's certainly it's a very, very interesting film.
Wow. Yeah. It's I got to tell you something. With the landslide vote that we got here, and I got to tell you, you know, I was dead center the whole time, and it just totally blew me away. Okay. And more and more that I look at this thing, it's intriguing as hell. And yet, even as of today, and I hear you speak, and we talk, you know, a lot, MK, and if this stuff keeps yielding more and more new finds for you. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yes. I get them almost every day. And I tell you, Tom, it's about what you would expect if you took a film of yourself and then dissected it and wrote down everything on that film that you believed proved you existed. Mm-hmm. You know, you would expect to find just lots of stuff. And you do on this film as well. It comes out, you know, there's different things every day. Number one, it was taken in great lighting conditions. Number two, it was taken, you know, daylight film at fairly close range with very good film stock. It does have, you know, some flaws and imperfections that come from, you know, just using an amateur camera. Not that the brand is bad, but the camera was never designed to blow up something this small, that big. But with knowledge, you can overcome a lot of these imperfections. You can use filtration and things like that and technically improve the film greatly. I don't know if you're familiar with NASA and the terrible tragedy they had with the foam that hit the space shuttle wing. But the only shot of it that they had was a camera that was 23 miles away. And they were trying to determine, you know, how big the foam was and how much it weighed and how hard it hit. It took a team of people 8 months, but they had that thing so crisp and clear after 8 months that you could read the writing on the side of the shuttle. And they were able to get all the information they needed and then reenact it, and they knew then, you know, what had happened. Yes, photographs can be improved. And this is 900 and something photographs that if they were, if you went to the original and treated them all, you could get this type of quality from it. If you could get access to it.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I got to tell you, you know, since we have broken mainstream America on this thing, you know, not just the Bigfoot world, And you know how big the Bigfoot world really is, MK. I don't have to tell you. People are looking at this for the first time, and they've got questions. And the many answers that can be given is from a person like you.
Well, you know, like I said, you tend to sort of get tunnel vision when you're in this field, and especially since I've been working on just one particular aspect of this field. And you don't really realize, you know, how small it is. But whenever something does break, and you're more familiar with that, that when something does break into the wire and get distributed, that it's an awful lot of interest in it. And even the fuzzy shots, the blurry ones that's been out in recent years, there's still a lot of interest in that. So I'm not sure how much, you know, distribution this particular photo has actually had where somebody can, you know, look at it and say, wow. Even today, and I've been working on this thing 10 years, this image right here is just astounding. It is just absolutely gripping to just look at it. And it's just one of many frames, you know.
Well, you probably have to be the luckiest man in the world, first of all, by having the privilege to work this film, the original or a copy, whatever it may be, versus us other people out in the field, because, my God, I got to tell you, I'm not just speaking for the Bigfoot guys out there. I'm talking about for mainstream America. They've got a lot of questions. And these questions need to be answered. And the only way it's going to be done is with the fine work that you're doing, MK. And I want to tell you, I thank you from the bottom of my heart of what you're doing to make it all happen.
Well, I appreciate that, but I have to say that it wasn't without help. You know, I've had a lot of people that supported me and helped me, people in key areas that got me some images. Ultimately, it goes back to Roger Patterson, who put himself in position to get lucky. And I was talking to Marco Bill earlier, and I said, it's amazing how lucky a hardworking person can get. They tend to be luckier than the average person. Now, they had these tracks reappear after several years of no tracks or evidence up in down Bluff Creek due to a flood, and they had these tracks reappear. Patterson had just come back from Mount St. Helens and knew he was tired. He repacked all his stuff up, him and Bob Gamblin, and went back down there. And I know how far back in there they went. So they went back in there, and they put themselves in a position, and guess what happened? You know, so to everybody out there, it's sort of an object lesson that if you got to be where they are, that's a certain thing. You got to be kind of smart to look for the evidence and everything. But when you work hard, you tend to be luckier. You know, so good luck to all of you.
Well,
you too.
Hey, thanks a lot, good buddy. Thank you so much. Anybody have any questions for MK, please dial in. If not, we're going to continue straight on. We're going to be talking about our expedition next week. We're creeping right on it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's less than a week away from when we're going to be there anyway. And one more time, MK, I take my hat off to you. God bless you. Kudos to you, my man.
Appreciate it.
We got Marco Bill. Let's go pay some bills, my brother.
Okay, Tom, and this is the Bigfoot Live Radio Show, and stand by for Paris, Texas. Here we come.
There's something roaming, and there is a species that may be unknown that we're going to release to the world. March 29th, 30th, and 31st is your chance to make history. Join us in Paris, Texas, March 29th, 30th, and 31st as we attempt to capture this elusive creature with the legendary Thomas Guardi and his Searching for Bigfoot team.
Nighttime, this is a complete playground for these things.
Featuring the cutting-edge technology of Dr. Ron Milioni.
He's moving right now. He's clear out the crew line.
It's never been done before. It's never been seen before. Be a part of the groundbreaking new reality television series, Capturing Bigfoot. Do you have what it takes to be on the team that brings home America's King Kong? That's Paris, Texas, March 29th, 30th, and 31st with the legendary Tom Scott. Get your tickets now. Log on to searchingforbigfoot.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live Radio Show, and we're back to you, Tom.
Hey, thanks, Marco Bill. And welcome aboard, those of you who just tuned in. We had a heck of a night so far. We talked to Bob Gaudette with the dog-faced Bigfoot out there in Wisconsin, and we got our answers, hopefully, by MK, the excellent work that he's doing on the Patterson film, in particular, the frame number 350 from the film that looks so human. It's just been incredible. I mean, and the time is just flying. Let's go to New York and Massachusetts. Jim Snell and Dr. Milioni, are you out there?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you doing, my brother?
Oh, not too bad. A little chilly. Wait for that Texas warm.
Yeah, there you go. Let me ask you this. Did you get any more snow? Because I know it was over the weekend? You got another couple of feet?
Oh, yeah, we got a little bit, and I think we're going to get some tonight, too, from what I hear. So we'll see what happens. Can't take the plow off yet.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Dr. Ron...
It's going to be about 70 degrees high and about 60 at night.
There you go.
Well, that's sweet. Okay, as long as we keep the chiggers away. Let me tell you this. Oh, by the way, if MK, you're out there, Bill Green told me to say hello to you, okay? Dr. Ron, what I need you to do is tell our listeners about this great prototype coming up that you're going to bring to Texas with us.
Oh, there's going to be a bunch of stuff. One of the mainstream items that's going to be there is going to be a handheld, what we call is a first-time design, Bigfoot extremely low frequency detector system. So it's going to be just finishing up the last couple of them. Up to the minute, so we're going to have, let's see, total count, at least about, I think, 7 or 8 of these devices that are going to go out. And since the location at Lamar Point out there, it's going to be electrically dead. In other words, it's going to be away from the residents. It's going to be really, really quiet, and then it's going to be, you're just going to be really listening to certain patterns of what we call as subsonic vocalizations that Mr. Sasquatch is out there in family, and they start communicating, that we're going to pick up some kind of patterns from low frequency that's going to convert it to human frequency. It's almost going to be like directional. That should point this thing and move it around a little bit while you're really sitting out in the woods out there. You might go, okay, it sounds like it's coming northwest, or it could be going southeast, depending on, you know, where we have the team set up. And that's where we're going to get GPS coordination. In other words, we're going to have exact GPS location of different scout locations. That's just one thing. Second thing coming in is going to cover on the low end. On the high end, we're going to cover now vocalization on the ultrasonic. In other words, if they happen to communicate or switch gears on higher human frequency than what we could hear, I'm going to have a device that it's just about finished, and people that's coming on the trip is going to actually try it out.
Understand.
And you're going to aim. It's like a really high-end directional type of boom microphone, but it's going to look like almost like a radar parabolic type of structure. And when you point this thing, and if there's any high-frequency patterns going on, you're going to hear it as clear as bell. You're also going to pick up, you might pick up other species out there that are communicating. For example, bats communicate the ultrasonic, but you'll have a big distinction between that and, say, primate, we call ultrasonic vocalization. There's a couple guys that's been experimenting with some primates on high frequency, and it's definitely some new interesting studies on that, and that's what gave me the idea to say, you know what, Sasquatch 2 could probably work in this area. So it's not like they just came and said, hey, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday we're talking low frequency, and Tuesday and Thursday we're speaking high frequency. So you know what, we're bringing stuff that's going to cover the whole spectrum. The next thing that we're going to bring is, well, just gathering this stuff together, going to be some portable high-end infrared up to 250 feet now of visibility from the camera if you were holding it right out in a 45-degree field of vision back real-time to a high-frequency receiver system to a portable DVR of movement in the area. So if there's anything that's happening that we might see the actual species roaming around or seed right in sight, hopefully better captured in the Patterson. No, it's just picture the Patterson film or the Patterson capture from day now at night. But that also will give us where we are at that present time, an estimated distance of where the camera's shooting, really close exact GPS locations at that point, where we're able to trigger in another piece of technology, which would be kind of, you could say, electronic net system.
Wow.
There's also going to be some other sensitive microphone portable systems.
Yes.
That's going to be tried out also with this. Oh, excuse me.
Usually the way.
Hold on,
Dr. Ron. There's some people that are on our line right now, okay? I want you to mute yourself on out now if you're not talking, okay? Because we're getting to hear all the stuff in the background, and it's not fair to our listeners. A. B. This childish crap that's going on in the chat room, I will not stand for it. And I'm going to tell the people out there who are doing this right now, as you're online doing what you're doing, we have our web hosts, checking out and finding out where you are, and we will get to you. Trust me. We will find out who you are. I'm sorry, Dr. Ron, there's a bunch of childish crap going on in the chat room, and I just won't stand for the language and crap that's going on right now.
That's okay. We'll just get their IP address and get to their ISP, and then it'll be eliminated.
And that's what we're going to end up doing. That's what we'll end up doing. The web host is on there doing it right now, checking all this stuff out, and we'll find out what's going to happen. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we're going to bring in really sophisticated type of listening devices, some newer type of listening amplifier devices. Now, these are two other new systems I really never talked about before that I'll have that ready by the weekend. Besides the IR surveillance recording system, and another thing that I'm bringing in that Jimmy knows about, which, Tom, you really don't know about, but what the heck, Jim? I think we should tell him, right?
Oh, sure. Let's give out the goods.
Now, check this out, guys. A miniature DVR recorder system that has a 40 gigabyte storage capacity with the latest MPEG-4 technology that you actually carry in your pocket. Then you're going to have a special headband with a high-end camera system, and let's say you're out and you're beyond wireless transmission or there's interference. In other words, it's just you, the equipment, portable. Like, you're just a portable television station recording this information portably on you while you're out there getting as close as possible to the source.
Wow.
So in other words, the self-contained video capture and, of course, recording system.
And review system. It's even got, like, a 4-inch color monitor on.
4-inch, high-definition screen that you could play back in real time.
Totally waterproof. Totally, the thing is rugged. You could drive over it with a truck. It's pretty amazing equipment.
And what kind of distance can this thing capture?
Well, it's local. It records it right on your person.
It's a self-contained, portable, like, say, recording system on yourself.
Okay, so what you're talking about is our scouts that go out into the field, kind of like the helmet cams?
Yep, exactly. Actually, that's what it is. It's really like you could call it a head cam, but self-contained. which will pick up every single detail between audio and video and everything.
I think we're going to call it the Biscardi Cam.
Hey, there you go.
We're
going to
call it the Biscardi Cam because we're going to have Tom try it out.
Okay. Well, that would be great. And I'll be right at the point with the rest of my guys, let me tell you. You know that. Well, listen, guys, I look forward to it, and we're going to be doing a live show from the field, hopefully next week, if we can get some kind of phone service. God knows we're going to have everybody else out there with all kinds of gear. Maybe they can hook something up for us. I can't wait to be out there with you guys.
Thanks. Oh, it's going to be a blast. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Yeah,
it's
you.
Been it's been many months and many hours of painstaking trials and retesting and problem solving on the technology end. So now let's get it out of the bench and out in the field and let's see what we can do.
Hey, thanks so much, you guys. All you Bigfooters here, there, and everywhere, and I haven't forgotten you in the chat room. Trust me. I'm coming for you, my man.
We're going to capture you guys after we capture the monkey.
You wait and see. We haven't forgotten you, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, Bigfoot is here, there, and everywhere. Till next time.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.